Hello, you with Truth News on the 19th of December 2010. I'm Harewood Fenton, broadcasting from truthnews.com.au, an Australian-made podcast. Well, we've done two shows now dedicated to the WikiLeaks debacle, and I'm afraid we're going to do another show today. Look, it's an important topic, and you may find that we have perhaps focused too much of our resources on this question, but the implications surrounding the arrest of Julian Assange, the information that is currently continuing to spill out onto the world's major broadsheets, and the underlying questions about freedom of the internet are so important that I think we just have to follow this story, and we have limited opportunities to actually do shows here, so I'd like to at least be able to say we've achieved some level of depth of coverage of what's going on here. Now, of course, Julian Assange was released from jail on Friday, today being Sunday the 19th, and he's currently with a supporter who's actually a journalist in a mansion in the UK under very strict controls. He had to surrender his passport, and he's wearing a tracking tag. Now, today I actually I want to focus on different aspects of the case, and I'll be getting a guest on the show in about 20 minutes by the name of Anthony Lawson, who's well-known to the 9/11 Truth community with his excellent YouTube videos, and he's actually got a background in media and advertising, and he has an excellent voice presence with his superb voiceovers that he's done for television and commercials. Anthony put together a video basically debunking some of the views about Julian Assange, which we have posted on our Twitter stream, and it will also be on the notes to this show. And it takes a contrary view. We've till now been quite supportive, and we obviously continue to support the human rights of Julian Assange, and of course we would also like to say that we support the human rights of Bradley Manning, who is the young man who is accused of releasing information to WikiLeaks earlier this year, and I'll get onto that in a moment. Of course, we deplore any violations of human rights. But of course, there are so many oddities about the information that's coming out of WikiLeaks. The main one being that it's so eagerly lapped up by the mainstream media. And, we've seen information that that we regard as being a smoking gun for 9/11 being completely ignored. We've seen issues about Building 7 and the demolition of the Twin Towers continually ignored, and other questions that we've looked at, including vaccines and many aspects relating to controversies over medicine and Chappelle Corby. We've seen, just to give a couple of examples there that we've covered on this show, we've provided good quality information, and that good quality information can be found on a variety of blogs and alternative news sites, but the mainstream just ignores it. On the other hand, we have WikiLeaks the mainstream media just sucks up WikiLeaks information, and then it becomes the main body of information on the Sydney Morning Herald, a major publication here in Australia. They've been every day just front page stories direct from the WikiLeaks information. Now, Anthony, when he comes on, will be offering a critical eye at some of that. And, of course, you know, some of the criticisms are, well, what are the omissions in this information that we've been getting from WikiLeaks? And what are the foci of that information? You know, what are the main nuggets of information that continue to be the ones that grab your eye? And as he's pointed out, it tends to be views that support military objectives, and particularly against Iran. You know, we've seen that over and over again. But we've also seen a few other things. You know, support for the view that the Pakistan government is actually, you know, a legitimate target of the US because they are supporting the Taliban. We've seen statements from the Saudis that they would actually support some kind of attack against Hezbollah in the Israel-Lebanon conflict. But then, of course, there's been a complete absence of any embarrassing information, or really any information at all pertaining to Israel. And that could well be because they're simply, the Israelis don't use these particular channels to communicate. However, there is certainly a selective bias in some of that information. So I'm just going to continue now with some of the more interesting stories in relation to WikiLeaks that have come forth over the last couple of days. Okay, I want to start actually with a story from last week, an article that was written by Glenn Greenwald, and the title is "The Inhumane Conditions of Bradley Manning's Detention." Bradley Manning, the 22-year-old U.S. Army private accused of leaking classified documents to WikiLeaks, has never been convicted of that crime, nor of any other crime. Despite that, he has been detained at a U.S. Marine brig in Quantico, Virginia, for 5 months and for 2 months before that in a military jail in Kuwait, under conditions that constitute cruel and inhumane treatment, and by the standards of many nations, even torture. Now, I'll just quickly elaborate on those conditions. Yes, he's been in solitary for 23 out of 24 hours of the day for the last 7 months. He's also been put on forced medication. So he's been put on psychiatric antidepressant medication, which presumably is for his benefit, because the conditions under which the inhumane conditions under which he is being subjected to would cause him to go insane or become very depressed. But of course, you know, forced medication, solitary confinement, it starts to really seem that while the focus has been on Julian Assange over the past few months, this utter gross violation of human rights in relation to really the most important figure in this whole WikiLeaks saga over the last year has been somewhat ignored. And it's actually really hard to get information on Google about it. I mean, you can Google his name. And this article by Glenn Greenwald is the only one which is fairly comprehensive. And so the man's been kept in solitary confinement. He's even not permitted to exercise, which I find just quite extraordinary. I mean, this really is, I mean, the man has been kept without a sheet, without a pillow, in complete isolation for 23 hours out of the day, and he is not allowed to exercise. At the same time, he is put on forced medication. So I'll just read to you here further from the article. Since his arrest in May, Manning has been a model detainee without any episodes of violence or disciplinary problems. He nonetheless was declared from the start to be a maximum custody detainee, the highest and most repressive level of military detention, which then became the basis for the series of inhumane measures imposed upon him. From the beginning of his detention, Manning has been held in intensive solitary confinement. For 7 straight months and counting, he sits completely alone in his cell. His activities are heavily restricted, barred from exercising under constant surveillance to enforce those restrictions. So, what is the real issue here? Is the real issue Julian Assange and the obviously trumped up allegations, the miscarriage of justice there in UK and Sweden, which of course, you know, I abhor, or this case of a man who's been deprived of his basic rights for 7 months? And I must say, you know, even here on Truth News, we've neglected this story because we have been somewhat caught up in the whirlwind of information about Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. And I think it's time now to change the focus. And I'm actually going to encourage all our listeners and anyone who you know is interested in this topic, really start supporting Bradley Manning. Because another important point here is that he has not received the legal support that was promised to him from WikiLeaks. And WikiLeaks put out a pledge to get money to support Bradley Manning. Now, of course, WikiLeaks has been under attack, and there may well be very good reasons why that money was not forthcoming. Because I do know, for example, that when PayPal seized WikiLeaks' account, they took $80,000. So that's a pretty significant amount of money. So it may well be that WikiLeaks is unable to provide that money to Bradley Manning. But the guy, he's the one. He's the whistleblower. He's the one who broke the Baghdad story, the helicopter gunship massacre, which is the one that really brought WikiLeaks into the center of public attention. And we really do need to support this guy. So I do hope that you can get onto our show notes, spread this article around by Glenn Greenwald, and you know, let's focus on the whistleblowers themselves, while still supporting Assange, but and you know, and the efforts of WikiLeaks and the efforts of OpenLeaks, the new rival organization, which has you know started up with support from some of his disgruntled former associates. Okay, well, still on the WikiLeaks theme, The Guardian has released the full allegations against Julian Assange, and this has been met with shock and dismay by Julian Assange and his legal team. Unseen police documents provide the first complete account of the allegations against the WikiLeaks founder. Documents seen by The Guardian reveal for the first time the full details of the allegations of rape and sexual assault that have led to the extradition hearings against the WikiLeaks founder. Now, I should also point out that the WikiLeaks chief, Julian Assange, has reacted you know, quite assertively against the release of this. Lawyers for Julian Assange have expressed anger about the smear campaign and this particular release of incriminating police files was obviously published in a newspaper that has used him as its source for hundreds of leaked US embassy cables. And it appears that The Guardian, to some extent, is now turning on Julian Assange. So it's quite a long piece, that one on The Guardian, and it gets into some pretty messy sort of details about the allegations from the two women in Sweden. Nothing really shockingly new, though, I have to say. It's really stirring the pot, as far as I can see. I mean, I was half expecting, you know, maybe hoping that there would be some new information in this new released info from The Guardian, but in fact, no, it's really just a rehash of everything you've heard before. I think, you know, with a few minor details, you know, enhancements, but nothing there that makes it look any less like a total smear campaign, in my humble opinion. Now, the Bank of America has now joined the corporate boycott of WikiLeaks. Bank of America suspends payments to WikiLeaks. In a sign of the increasing tensions between WikiLeaks and the corporate world, Bank of America has said it will no longer help process payments for the organization, which released a huge cache of secret State Department cables in late November and has threatened to take down a major United States bank with another data dump. Sorry, I'm just reading there from New York Times. So Bank of America joins in the actions previously announced by MasterCard, PayPal, Visa Europe, and others, and will not process transactions of any type that we have reason to believe are intended for WikiLeaks. So, you know, the war there is ongoing, and who's to know what the final outcome of that will actually be? Now, just briefly, before we get on to our interview for today, I just want to point out the extreme weather conditions in Europe at present. Snow has brought chaos to Britain's transport network on the last weekend before Christmas. On what is normally one of the busiest days of the year for travel and shopping, Western Britain, Northern Ireland and Scotland suffered blizzards, while heavy snow fell on London and the south. Now, one point I'd like to make about this, I mean, obviously, this extreme cold is going to definitely change the overall average temperature for 2010. We'd heard a lot of stuff in the last month or so on the news saying, you know, 2010 could be the hottest year on record. Whereas, in fact, we know that 1995 was the hottest year on record, and Phil Jones, top scientist at the CRU, has said that there has been no statistically significant warming since 1995. There's been warmer years, cooler years, relatively, but 1995 was the peak. And increasingly, we've seen in the last few years extremely cold winters. And the efforts to continually push the idea that that it's getting hotter and hotter are really dented by this type of news. But in this same report, we have a very disturbing comment here from Mr. Hammond. That's Mr. Philip Hammond, who is the Transport Secretary. And he said he had asked the government's chief scientific advisor to assess whether Britain was experiencing a step change in weather patterns due to climate change and needed to spend more money on winter preparations. Well, that's obviously a topic for another show, but my goodness me, what amazing... You know, when you read that sort of double think going straight into a little article here, just one paragraph, you realize that what we're doing here at Truth News, because we don't do that, you see, that's why what we do is so important, because we don't introduce little deliberate double think statements that allow a lie to perpetuate or basically assist the liars in getting away with their lies by trying to change the definitions of concepts. You know, climate change has been presented to us as global warming, but they started using the phrase climate change several years ago, just when the furor over the questions of whether it really was getting warm or not started to erupt, because it really wasn't getting warmer, okay? And they quietly shifted to the phrase climate change from global warming, although they still use global warming and climate change together to make you associate global warming with climate change. But here we see an article which is all about extreme cold, and where we have the word climate change on its own without the word warming, but with all the same hype of fear and presumably the same government programs to address it, i.e., you know, they're going to make you reduce your carbon footprint to deal with the cold, which of course completely flouts the concept of the greenhouse warming concept, which is that's carbon dioxide making the air get warmer. Well, if we're going to start getting freezing cold winters, maybe we need, if the CO2 argument and science is correct, then maybe we should have more CO2. Well, but not apparently not. Apparently, according to the doublethink journalism that feeds into just, you know, a story about the weather, we're now going to be led down the track of being told that that our carbon footprint is necessary because it's so cold. Anyway, we'll get back to that subject soon. But now I must turn to our interview coming up with Anthony Lawson. Please stand by. Are you getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.com.au, and may the truth set you free. Welcome back to the show, and today it's my great honour to have on the show Anthony Lawson, who joins us from Thailand. Anthony is well known to a lot of people in the 9/11 Truth Movement for his beautiful voiceover presentations that he's done on YouTube, in some cases debunking the official views of 9/11, and in some cases debunking the discredited alternative views about events on 9/11. And most recently, he's released a very impressive little video which debunks some aspects of WikiLeaks and really takes a critical eye at the whole phenomena of WikiLeaks and what it may really mean. Now, Anthony has a background in media, advertising, and has actually worked at Abbey Road Studios in London. And he's also, I'd like to point out, the son of a famous radio star here in Australia, Queenie Ashton, who was a star of a radio show that probably my grandmother would have listened to called Blue Hills, which you know, many older Australians would probably be familiar with, probably younger people would not. But want to point out that Anthony, your voice on the phone is exactly as in your presentations, which is amazing. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Howard. It's good to be here.
Absolutely.
Or there. Whichever.
Absolutely. Now, my show is sort of always done on a wing and a prayer, and I've managed to get some information to sort of present here, your background and stuff. But if you want to fill out anything about, you know, where you come from in this whole perspective, please go ahead.
Well, you've got the CV. I don't know. I think with these kinds of programs, it may be better if you you know, homed in on what you think is important. But I can give you a quick reason for my getting into this kind of thing. I started to be fairly active in the imbalance situation when I was in Hong Kong and the treatment of domestic servants there. They call them home helpers or something, but they had very bad conditions. They had almost no status under the law, could be shipped out by anybody, having saved all their money to get to Hong Kong to try and send money back to their own families, in particularly the Philippines. I've come across many of them from the Philippines and from Sri Lanka, Indonesia, even Bali, and Thailand, certainly. And I got into that because it was so unbalanced.
Indeed.
Money-based economy of Hong Kong, treating other people virtually as slaves. And there was legislation to allow them to do this. And then came the handover, and a very wonderful man who was for the war widows, Jack Edwards, who wrote a great book, Banzai, You Bastards, about the Japanese prisoner of war situation. And the Chinese war widows of people who had fought for Britain were not given passports, which I thought was awful. And sort of moved on from there.
And of course, in more recent years, you've become quite strong in your views about 9/11, which is, you know, your current focus, which I've, you know, seen some of the great work you've done there. And that obviously is inspired by your basic sense that we've been lied to about very important questions there, and you've been able to just basically highlight some of the more absurd aspects of that.
Well, it is at the forefront. It should be at the forefront of everything because it's the start of everything. It is the beginning of the end, if we allow it to be, of free societies everywhere. It's generated what? Two real wars and one phony war against terrorism. It's basically like a feedback situation. Anything that has to do with terrorism must have been to do with the people who caused 9/11 and so on and so forth. And of course, the story doesn't ring true. There are two crimes here. The first is the crime that was committed on September the 11th, and the second one is the ongoing one of the cover-up, because it is totally clear that the events that we were told happened the way they happened didn't happen that way. The official story right from the beginning was phony, and the commission confirmed its phoniness basically by not, for example, even allowing or encouraging the NTSB to find out exactly what and where the planes came from. That's page one. These were murder weapons. No doubt about it, but they've never been forensically identified. You know, where can you step from there to say that, excuse me, any investigation is a proper one if you don't determine where the murder weapon came from and who was operating it?
Yeah, and, you know, just by contrast to some of the issues around WikiLeaks, and we're going to get into that in depth shortly, but just wanted to point out, and I've been talking about this a lot with people, which is that with some of these questions about 9/11 and a lot of other topics which we cover on Truth News, you don't actually need to read secret leaked information to get an extraordinary piece of information that seems to have no coverage on the news. It's right there in the public domain already. And There are, you know, so many things like the collapse of Building 7 and points that you just mentioned there, which are in our face, they're in the public domain and are being ignored. And I just find it incredible that we have this media frenzy over diplomatic gossip and misdemeanors in the WikiLeaks statements, which are barely, I mean, they certainly don't even go towards criminality. They go towards, you know, slightly embarrassing things. The media seems to love little lies and little half-truths being exposed, but they always turn away from the big lie being exposed. I don't know if you...
Oh, that's right. Disinformation thrives on a little bit of the truth.
Yeah.
It's totally... If you give a little bit of the truth, everybody, oh, geez, no, listen, we're getting some stuff that we shouldn't be seeing. Isn't that wonderful? And the media is lapping it up and pushing it out, and of course it's turned it totally against Iran. And I'm just replying to a comment that's been made on this video of mine you mentioned.
Sure.
And I'm amazed at how unsubtle the media has been, to me anyway, the media has been in embracing WikiLeaks in almost a sort of a pornographic embrace of, isn't this great, we're getting stuff. The media should have been getting this stuff for years and years and years, or looking further behind these scenes, but a lot of it is just sort of embassy tittle-tattle. That's all. I've been to a couple of garden parties and things.
Yeah.
I've heard the way these people talk. It's tittle-tattle. And of course, there's some serious material has been released. The shooting up of innocent people in Iraq, but that's to discredit America. But nothing discredits the one nation which is really at the heart of all of this, which is apartheid Israel.
Yeah, and of course that's the main focus of your video. And if I can just interject there for a moment, I'd like to just play a segment from your video, and then we'll get back to talking about it. Just for our listeners who might have not had a chance to listen to this yet, I'm just going to play the segment from where you start talking about WikiLeaks, and then you can continue from there. I'll just start that now.
Right. Until this latest batch, I hadn't spent much time thinking about WikiLeaks, because for me, the entire edifice crashed and burned when its founder was reported as saying, "I'm constantly annoyed that people are distracted by false conspiracies such as 9/11, when all around we provide evidence of real conspiracies for war or mass financial fraud." The words of someone so inflated by his own self-esteem that he thinks that stolen, or perhaps donated, documents, which can be forged and otherwise manipulated, should take precedence over the stark, recorded evidence that proves the official version of 9/11 is a pack of lies. Huge buildings do not collapse in freefall for no reason, and even bigger ones do not eject molten iron caused by fires far less intense than those found in jet engine combustion chambers. But, give him his due, he does seem to be a godsend for the CIA and Mossad because of his views about 9/11. Come to think of it, if Julian Assange had not existed, the CIA and Mossad would have invented him. Finally, here's a rogues gallery of some of those behind-the-scenes people who see that the masses are kept uninformed.
I'll just leave it there. Of course, in your video, you make a big point about the absence of any information that would discredit Israel. And of course, we've seen some articles have come out suggesting that there was actually an agreement made between WikiLeaks and the Israeli government to remove cables, although I can't say I've got proof of that. There's a couple of blog articles from, I think one was from Syria that alleged that. You've certainly highlighted the absence of anything that would reflect badly on Israel. But if you want to continue there, Anthony, please, you've got the floor.
Well, Howard, I'm very heavy on not saying anything that I don't know. I really cannot confirm. I will use terminology such as it is perhaps obvious or almost certainly this or that. I will not say anything that I don't really know. What I do really know about is that 9/11 was not properly investigated. Now, there was no reason to not properly investigate 9/11 unless it was not a crime committed in the way we have been told it was committed. That much I can say. In one of my other videos, I've homed in on the so-called dancing Israelis who have admitted that they were there to document the event being the aircraft crashes in New York, which had to be, and I've shown, found a place from where they, or somebody, filmed the second plane hitting the South Tower. It was a rooftop with not very good access, and it was definitely chosen, in my view, because it was a very good place to shoot that particular path that somebody must have known the plane was going to take, because the camera was pointing at the position when the plane came into shot. Well, it didn't come into shot. They must have switched the camera on when it came into shot.
Sure.
That to me says somebody knew. Now, if somebody knew about it, then the investigation was a phony investigation. It's as simple as that. Also, the Attorney General, what's his name? The Solicitor General at the time.
Yes, Ted Olson, yes.
Pardon?
Ted Olson, I believe.
Yeah, Ted Olson, my memory isn't all that great this time on a Sunday morning.
Sure.
Ted Olson, it has now been admitted by the FBI that the telephone conversation he allegedly had with his wife just before the plane that she was allegedly in allegedly hit the Pentagon could not possibly have happened. Right? Now,
there you
have two things. You have the Israelis admitting that they were there to document the event, which means somebody somewhere must have told them that this was happening, or even worse, that they were involved. The other thing is, the second thing is, of course, the huge anomaly of the collapse of WTC-7, about which I made a video called This is an Orange, which it is clearly a controlled demolition and has since been proven by very clever people who have plotted its fall, and it is in free fall for at least 2.5 seconds. This guy, Cole, John Cole, who even got the gravity coefficient of gravity for New York City and plotted it from that particular point, because gravity varies all over the world, of course, because of the elevation and whatever. But those are two very strong points, or three perhaps. Then the fourth one, to me, put them all together, but the non-identification of the planes is the most serious one, I think. Not the most serious, as serious as the others.
Yeah.
Because if you don't identify the murder weapon, how can you say who done it?
Right, right. Yes, the actual matching of the plane against a real plane. And of course, the tracking of the planes was extremely intermittent. And of course, the Flight 77, they claim that they lost it for a large period of time. It wasn't even visible on radar. But look, if we could just get back to WikiLeaks, so that's our main thrust for today. And I guess it's the relationship.
But always keeping in mind, and to me, you know, I was trying to think of an analogy, and I hope that your listeners will keep this analogy in mind when they say, yes, but WikiLeaks has turned up some interesting stuff and, you know, it's probably going to do a lot of good in other areas. You're going to buy a house, right? And you go in, and the first thing you do is go down the basement, if you're clever, and you look. And if you find that it's got dry rot, wet rot, rats, and, you know, it's in a pretty bad condition,
yeah,
the view from the top floor isn't going to mean a lot to you unless you're an idiot.
Yeah.
This is the way I look at WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks, a founder, Julian Assange, has claims that 9/11 does not warrant investigation. So whatever else he's putting out has got to be tainted by his views about what he thinks the public should be exposed to.
I would agree with you 100% on that. The only question I have in my mind is whether or not he was correctly quoted. And you've actually put the exact quote in your video, and I know it came from a, you know, reputable publication, but as we know, a lot of reputable publications don't tell the truth. So I still have a question in my mind about the accuracy of that quote, but it's sort of a hopeful question, because I'm hoping he was misquoted. Because I've really heard nothing else from him on the subject.
Well, I've thought of that, of course, because as I've said to you before, I try not to say anything that I don't really know about. I read the article several times. The journalist, whose name escapes me, actually I could probably find it, but it doesn't matter.
Sure.
From the Belfast Telegraph, isn't it?
Yeah.
He tells a story. He tells of his meeting with Assange and has some opinions, but I think it's only in three instances does he actually put quotes around a word.
True.
To me, it sounds as though he has recorded this interview and he has taken that particular quote and written it down very carefully. So I think they are Julian Assange's words. The other thing to try as a backup, because a lot of people have brought this up.
Sure.
I have tried to find instances or other instances of Julian Assange talking about 9/11, and I've been unable to find any where he actually mentions it. Now, as the defining sort of incident of the millennium, if you like, and a person who is interested in the truth and digging into government documents, 250,000 of them, for him not to mention it says a lot, I think. It says a lot about where his interests lie. So I would not fault what has been reported. It may be a word or two out, but there's nothing that I can find which argues against the apparent fact that is his view about 9/11.
And as you say, conspicuous by his absence, any discussion of this question, which when you're in the business of suppressed information, 9/11 is the elephant in the room. So, I mean, one would assume he must have talked about it with people. You know, I mean, it's a subject that does come up a lot in, you know, dinner party conversation. I just wish that, because obviously we've done several shows on WikiLeaks over the last few weeks. I've actually, the last three shows have been on WikiLeaks. And there is a lot of support, a massive support for him in Australia and around the world. And I've been very supportive of him in the sense that he's been locked up in prison under what seem to be trumped up ridiculous charges. And I actually, you know, support his human rights. And I will always say that.
But that's all part of the circus. Come on, Howard. That's all part of the circus.
That's why I've
been put in a nice little room. You know, he's not suffering all that much. The Brits are in it as much. They tried to blame the Swedes for blocking bail to start with. And look, if you've seen, how many interviews have you seen with Julian Assange? There are all kinds of documentary. I haven't watched a huge amount. I've tried to find quite a few. I've found quite a few snippets and things. Not one mention of the event which defined the beginning of the second millennium.
Yeah.
Before the after the Common Era, or before the which is it? I don't know. AD, right?
Sure.
Not one mention of 9/11. Now, how can you not mention 9/11? I mean, it's like talking about, you know, the early 20th century and not mentioning the Titanic, for God's sake.
Although I have to say, it is common.
World War One, World War Two in the middle, just glossing over them as though they didn't happen. 9/11 happened, and it was obviously a crime of a cover-up has gone on, and somebody who claims to be the great liberator of information doesn't even mention it or talk about it, or he's never asked about it. Do you think he might say, listen, whatever you do, and I've heard of people saying this before they go on to interviews, whatever you do, I'm not saying anything about 9/11, so don't mention it, right? It's like John Cleese, don't mention the war.
Absolutely.
It is so out there, and you called it the elephant in the room. I've called it the elephant in the room. I don't know what else. You know, it is. It is so out there. Why hasn't he brought it up?
Well, I just have to point out, it is quite common among those people we call the intellectual left-wing gatekeepers. For years, people like Noam Chomsky avoided the subject. John Pilger has avoided the subject, even though he does a lot of great work.
I think that's tragic.
Annie Goodman has avoided it.
It is tragic that John Pilger has ignored it too.
Yeah.
It makes me very suspicious of his agenda.
Yeah.
He's been threatened, or I hope it has been a life-threatening incident that has stopped him from mentioning it too, because how could he ignore it? How could anybody ignore it? I can't be talked out of it.
Sure.
If somebody likes to prove to me that, you know, buildings can fall in free fall without an aeroplane hitting them, without any help from controlled demolition equipment or explosives or thermite, and that a commission would not investigate the origin of the aircraft that had caused all the mischief and stuff like that, then that's the only basis on which I would say that somebody like WikiLeaks founder Assange and John Pilger, you know, have every right not to mention it.
Mm.
But I cannot see. I really am so, I get het up about this.
Sure.
You cannot get past the fact that 9/11 has the what really happened has been the subject of a cover-up. I can't tell you who did it. And a lot of people say to me, well, if you can't tell them who did it, imagine this. Just one second, I want to cough.
Sure.
Imagine this situation. A guy is on trial for his life, and the jury returns, and the judge is handed the piece of paper, and he reads it, and he says, not guilty. He doesn't turn to the jury and say, well, if he didn't do it, who did?
Yeah.
Does he?
Yeah.
This would not happen. We know that 9/11 now didn't happen the way we were told it happened, and it is incumbent on the people responsible for finding these things out to find it out, not the general public. We can say we know it didn't happen that way, but it's not incumbent on us to say how it did happen. And I'm quite often, people are saying to me, well, maybe Julian, you know, doesn't say this because he doesn't know how it happened, how it really happened. The point is, he knows it didn't happen the way we've been told it happened. Mm. That's the important thing.
Yeah.
That and that only.
Great, great point. I'm just going to take a really quick break, and we'll try to get deeper into this WikiLeaks question. What is WikiLeaks? I mean, I really want to answer this question, but let's just take a quick break and we'll get right back to it. Here's a song by Low Key, Cradle of Civilization.
I remember when I was growing up, if my mother got angry or frustrated with me, she'd say, "Ishket helwa el horiya." And the basic translation of that is, oh, how beautiful is freedom. Where is freedom? Civilization for what it's worth. The land I've never seen, culture I've never known. Iraq is in my heart, my blood, my flesh and bones. The air I've never breathed, fragrance I've never smelled. Pride I've never had, the nationality that I've never felt. Saddam was bad, party Americans even more so. They made me grow like I was missing part of my torso. But I never picked up a grenade in my garden. I never saw people I love die starving. I never saw my family die through many years of sanctions, while the ruler's family lived in palaces and mansions. I never had a family member kidnapped for a ransom, and never lost a friend to violence that was random. Romans occupation, torture, intimidation, a million dead people doesn't equal liberation. Whether you're Sunni, Shia, Kurdish or Christian, pain is still pain if you're a person that's missing. We all deserve a life in this earth that we live in. Is there enough words that can say how deeply Baghdad is burning today? And it's not about pity, hands out or sympathy. It's about pride, respect, honor and dignity. Babies being born with deformities from uranium. Those babies aren't just Iraqi, they're Mesopotamian. What a view on the news. Making me shiver, cause I look at the victim, see the same face in the mirror. This system of division makes it harder for you and me. Peace is a question, the only answer is unity. So many dreams about this place that I've never seen, the place my family had to leave in the 70s. Where is our freedom? It rains white phosphorus. Bosphorus in Fallujah. This is for those that won't live to see the future. Sorry that I wasn't there, sorry that I couldn't help. I'm sorry for every tear, sorry you've been put through hell. Still I feel like an immigrant, Englishman amongst Arabs, and an Arab amongst Englishmen. Like I said, they never gave me the culture, but they did give me Kubad, Halab, Hakaka and Doma. And it is me Kareem, U Umri Talata, U Ishreen, U Mimin, Baghdad, U Abu Yamin, Dover. And that's the combination that I carry on my shoulders. Still I rep till my death, till they kill and steal my flesh from now. Way back to Gilgamesh, such a villainized and criticized nation. You will always be the cradle of civilization. Close my eyes, I can still hear my homie saying,
getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.com.au, and may the truth set you free. Welcome back. You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia. Today I'm interviewing Anthony Lawson, who's taking the devil's advocate position on WikiLeaks. And I've been avoiding too much criticism. I have suggested a few times that we have some issues with WikiLeaks over the quality of the information that's come out. But I've tried to be balanced here, but I know that Anthony's got some pretty strong views on it. Anthony, just a question for you. I've today have decided I'm going to actually start really focusing on some of the other related matters in relation to the WikiLeaks leaks, and particularly Bradley Manning. Now, have you looked into the situation with Bradley Manning at present?
I haven't really, Howard. I have to say that because of this 9/11 blockage on my part, I really can't see any reason, as I've made the analogy before, if the basement is in such a rotten condition, I can't really see much point in going up to see what the view's like. Some of the reports. I have no idea whether they're accurate. Many of them are undated. They've been cherry-picked, I think, by the mainstream media. I wouldn't like to make any assumptions about a lot of people are calling Bradley, what's his name?
Bradley Manning, private. Yeah, Bradley Manning, yes.
You know, a gay person who's, you know, disaffected by the army or has been badly treated or something. I have no idea about that, because I don't think anybody who's talking about it does either.
Well, there is some news that came out in the last week, and this is from a, you know, pretty, it's got some pretty good sources behind it, that he's been held in solitary confinement for 7 months, and he's actually on forced medication as well, in an isolation cell. Yeah,
I wouldn't put it past the American criminals to do that to somebody.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past them at all, but that doesn't mean to say that they are not behind it. I mean,
Yeah, of course, yes.
We wouldn't kill 3,000 people, you know, of our own people. Of course, we didn't. We weren't responsible or didn't have any knowledge of 9/11. Sorry to get back to that. But
no, it's great.
A lot of people say that sort of thing. And yet then you say to them, well, what about when they send troops off to war, knowing that they're going to get killed? What about when they bomb other people, knowing that they're going to get killed? They know when they send troops off to war that some of them are going to get killed. And far more people in the military services of the United States have been killed and were killed on the day of 9/11. So, I mean, that's a spurious argument. And to say that they would not treat Bradley Manning in an appalling way proves that you know, he's the person who really was responsible. The people who are responsible are allowing him to do it. Now, who are they? Because they're on about it. Look what they're doing to people as they go through airports.
Yeah.
They're killing them slowly with X-rays. And look what they've dropped on Iraq and in Afghanistan, depleted uranium. They don't care about this sort of thing. They'll put somebody like Bradley Manning anywhere they want to. Look at the people they've put in Guantanamo Bay. It's not indicative of the situation. It's just a side effect, collateral damage. Whatever, you know,
and
it's
of course,
quite extraordinary. It doesn't mean very much.
Well, one point that I think is interesting about Bradley Manning, obviously, is the man who's been accused of leaking the Baghdad massacre video, which shows a helicopter gunship gunning down a whole lot of people. What I think is interesting out of that, I mean, I was horrified when I saw that video, and everyone was horrified by it. But
me too.
Yeah, and of course, it's terrible to see that. But of course, there are no criminal charges or prosecutions in relation to that, because it was determined that everything that those guys did, that those military people did, was actually normal military procedure, even gunning down the rescue car, because they were considered to be enemy combatants.
They were obeying orders. I mean, it is like this sit and have a cup of coffee in San Diego or whatever, and direct drones at people in Pakistan. It's appalling. It's obscene.
Yeah.
The whole thing is obscene.
Yeah.
And this is what annoys me about the mainstream media, is that they ignore the obscenity of this method of war. War is obscene to start with, but this method of, you know, remote warfare, they talk about, you know, they go on about, or people do, you know, cowardly suicide bombers, at least those people. I mean, I'm not saying that they should be doing it, because I think that they're misled as well. But they go on about cowardly suicide bombers. What about the cowards who drop bombs on people from 40,000 feet and then go home and have a cup of tea? This is the terrible thing about the media, the way we look at things. We see this, it comes out as a great, you know, WikiLeak, whatever you might like to call it. We know it's been going on. We knew about it. We had an idea about it with what they were doing in Abu Ghraib. The horror of this is that we know it's going on, and we know it's going on with these drones that they're coming and shooting people, and wedding parties that they've done in Baghdad. It's ongoing. Mm. This is one little incident. It's a huge incident, of course, for the people that were killed. But it is ongoing. It's common.
And, of course, every other day.
It's common. And the media knows it's common. But they're not saying anything about the drones that they're sending over in Pakistan and elsewhere.
I mean, it does get reported, but it's always...
What they're doing is jumping on the guy who released this video.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there was actually a drone attack yesterday, I believe. I mean, it does pop up if you search, and you'll find it in the news, but it won't be on the front page of the newspaper. It won't be a big story.
Yes, I know it comes up, but it's not condemned by anybody, is it?
No, it's not even condemned. It's just like another drone attack. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's normal.
When did you see the BBC condemning it? When did you see CNN condemning anything like that? The Australian Broadcasting Commission asking questions or asking Parliament to question the Americans about what they're doing. They're the allies of Australia.
Yeah.
But we don't get any of that.
Yeah, I think the latest one killed 35. I mean, that was by their own admission. So, you know, just yesterday they killed 35 people in some village in Pakistan. You know, and that's totally normal now. That just every other day that happens.
But it's appalling, isn't it?
Yeah. I
mean, and it pales, or it causes the WikiLeaks things not to pale into insignificant, but to be in perspective. This is going on. We know it's going on. And gee, isn't it great? Somebody jumped up and told us it's going on. But what is being done about it?
Yeah.
This is the thing. Nothing. Nothing.
So just getting into the WikiLeaks itself. So your view, Anthony, I mean, do you see WikiLeaks as an essentially a propaganda intel operation, or do you sort of hold back from having a particular point of view on it? I mean, because there are a lot of people who've made assertions in that direction. I basically just don't know. I mean, I do agree with the observation that most of the information that comes out seems to serve propaganda ends. And it's very soft information anyway. It's as you said, it's diplomatic tittle-tattle, it's gossip, it's stuff that it's not really secret anyway. And even if it is secret, that doesn't mean it's true. Do you think, I mean, first of all, I'd like to know what your, you know, view about WikiLeaks is in terms of their genuineness or credibility from the whole organization, not just Julian Assange. And also, if you could sort of give some advice to people in Australia as to how we should respond to WikiLeaks, with Julian Assange being an Australian, and there's a tendency to want to rally to support, you know, your countrymen and someone in trouble. And of course, if I were to go around saying, oh, WikiLeaks is, you know, discredited, WikiLeaks is intel, I would be attacked quite harshly. And so I certainly, you know, have to be careful about what I say.
Yeah, I understand that. When I was growing up, I grew up in Australia up until I was about 22 and then left because, I think, under the influence from my mother, who reckoned that England was the best place and all that sort of thing for me to go and try my hand at what I wanted to do. But I was told that the Australians make the best con men.
Right.
There have been some instances of that where Australian, you know, con men have managed to put one over, you know, big ones over, you know, in different sorts of countries. I can't, and I know that there are evil people in Australia, and I have this theory, if you sort of work it out, that my son, my first son, is left-handed. And we went into the sort of a left-handed thing when he was very young. And there was even a left-handed shop in London. And it's about 10 to 12%. I think the percentage for sexual orientation not being the way that a lot of people think it should be,
right,
homosexuality, lesbianism or whatever, is something in the same sort of range. I have a theory that sociopaths are probably have the same kind of percentage in the population. So there are evil people about.
Yeah.
And because they happen to be Australian or Norwegian or wherever, it doesn't matter. No, he shouldn't be, Assange shouldn't be judged on being an Australian. He should be judged for what he is and what he does. Nothing to do with his nationality. Just as there's a good Jew to be found in any place you can think of.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are a lot of bad Jews in Israel doing nasty things to the Palestinians, for example. I don't think you should judge. People should get upset because the guy's an Australian, that he's being either pilloried or applauded. Doesn't matter. He's a person, and he can be bad and he can be good. Right?
And, of course, there's that other sense that, you know, he was arrested. The criminal charges are not even formally charges. They're only allegations. I've spent a large part of today reading up on that again. I've done this so many times now. And I'm a bit over it, to be honest with you. I think I'd like to move on with some other topics. But what I can say is that, is that the Guardian just released what they're calling the, you know, this is almost, it's ironic. The Guardian has released secret leaked information about the allegations against Julian Assange. And so the Guardian is now playing WikiLeaks against WikiLeaks. But while all up till now, the Guardian has been extremely supportive of WikiLeaks, they're now playing the game.
They were one of the chosen outlets who were allowed to look through the documents, and I think they passed them on to Reuters, for goodness sake.
Yes.
You know, it's a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And what do they all discover? Oh, Iran is still being naughty with its, its uranium. It's a nuclear thing. This is what they can. This is what the first burst was. This is why I made the video I made, because I'm sitting watching the TV and flicking backwards and forwards, and I come across a CNN saying that WikiLeaks has shown that all the people in the Middle East are against Iran, and then I flick to the BBC, and it's just so typical. If anything like this comes out, who do we have a go at? We don't have a go at apartheid Israel destroying and hurting people in Palestine. We have two or 300 nuclear weapons ready to go on rockets and on aeroplanes. We have a go at Iran's nuclear program.
Yeah.
I mean, it is so pathetically transparent what is happening, particularly with the first burst of WikiLeaks, that it's terribly difficult to get past that and say, well, you know, what is Julian Assange up to? Surely, you know, if somebody's driving a fast car and knocks over a few people, you know, they may be on their way to the hospital, but their wife is about to have a baby, but it doesn't affect the crime that they've committed on the way, does it? Does it excuse it? It's terribly difficult to make a judgment about the sort of the fallout. I'm sure that there will be certain things that should come out, but then the mainstream media should have brought these out. That, you know, they should have brought these things out ages ago, and they haven't done so. But now they're jumping on the bandwagon, and there's a sort of a mix on how Assange should be treated. They don't jump up and down about the people who've been in Guantanamo Bay for 8 years. He's in a fairly comfortable prison in London.
Sure.
You know, probably being, I don't know, well-treated. His lawyers certainly look as though they're pretty affluent, I believe. They also work for some pretty heavy people in the London, city of London. So how does he get this kind of backing? Where does it come from? It's establishment. You know, I asked you, you know, who funds Truth Australia Radio? You have wires all over your, you know, your bedroom, kitchen, living room. I don't know. You're a unit running a small operation with a lot of good people, as I understand it. I know John very well. And
great, yeah.
Where are all these people who are coming out to protect Julian Assange coming from? Where's the money coming from? Follow the money, they say. And why haven't there been leaks about secret documents between the White House, for example, and Tel Aviv, or even the Congress, about the Palestinian question, the building of illegal structures in East Jerusalem, for example? Where are those? This is why I can't tell you about any of the others. I just know what's missing, and what's missing tells me that there is something very wrong with this entire operation and the way it's being handled by the media and lauded by the media. So it's, you know,
and you know, Anthony, I feel like the atmosphere of the way in which kind of due process and law is being dealt with, it's become so riddled with doublethink. I mean, if you just sort of think of it like, you know, 1984, George Orwell, you know, you have artificially created dissidents that are then put through artificial show trials to instill in people some sort of fear of authority and government. And I do think it's quite possible that Assange could end up being, as Alex Jones said, flushed down the toilet. And this could well happen. I mean, Lee Harvey Oswald met that sort of fate. And of course, I wouldn't say Lee Harvey Oswald was a hero either, but, you know, what actually, well,
I don't think he was acting. I don't think he killed President Kennedy. He certainly wasn't acting alone, because he wasn't acting, as far as I'm concerned. He wasn't involved.
Yeah, yeah.
He was involved. He was involved in the sense that he was active in the Free Cuba movement and stuff like that. But I don't think he was Kennedy's killer. That's another cover up. The same, and we've had covers up since then. Dr. Kelly, releasing to the BBC. I heard that broadcast of him telling the guy,
right, yeah,
he was being interviewed and then he didn't have a proper, there wasn't a proper autopsy, there wasn't a proper coroner's court. There was an investigation or whatever, like the investigation they're having about the Iraq war. I mean, everybody gets so bored of these things at the end, but there's a heck of a lot of evidence or alleged evidence which says that Dr. Kelly did not commit suicide. But it's, you know, it's allowed to sort of drift off it nowhere. But where's the mainstream media with that? They publish the odd thing every now and then, very inconclusive. So, I mean, due process seems to have gone out the window in the UK and just about everywhere, I would have thought.
And it's also
in Australia.
Well, it's gone out the window of people's thinking. And this is what I find most troubling, is that people just accept trial by media now as the norm. They people have forgotten about the core principles of like a democracy and a justice system where you're innocent until proven guilty, you can't be detained without charge, you know. And I've said this, I keep saying this show after show. I mean, these things.
Well, hang on, I'm not sure about this being detained without charge. The Swedes have charged him, haven't they?
Oddly, and it's a hard one to research. You'll spend a long time doing this, but I can point you directly to some articles, one from The Guardian, which says in black and white that he has not been charged. He has not been charged with any crime at this point. He is wanted for questioning. Now, you know, also,
maybe there's some tiny little thing that they need to question him before they will charge him. But he's not going to go there willingly, apparently.
Well,
otherwise,
correct, yeah.
Jumped on SAS and been in Stockholm and said, I didn't do it, whatever.
Of course, normally an arrest warrant.
Some little twist there, I don't know.
A European arrest warrant, as it says in this article from The Guardian, can only be issued when charges have been filed. And yet, and it says that in the article, a European arrest warrant can only be issued when charges have been filed. And then it says no charges have been filed against Julian Assange. Now, to me, this is a separate question of whether Julian Assange is a good guy or a bad guy. When I see the basic laws being trodden over in this way, I see that as a precedent. I see it as a precedent-setting thing, which accustoms people.
I couldn't agree more. But why don't we get? Why didn't we get this upset about Frederick Tobin being imprisoned in England?
Frederick Tobin,
because of his views on the Holocaust.
Ah, yes. Okay. Indeed, I would agree with that. Yeah.
And they wanted to take him to Germany and put him in the Mannheim court, and not allow him to have his attorney there to defend him, because even attorneys get sent to prison for defending Holocaust so-called deniers, for God's sake. So, you know, where was the big hoo-ha about Frederick? I've been in contact with Frederick a few times, and he seems like a nice guy, and I think he's got some very good points. But, you know, there was no hoo-ha about Frederick being put in jail and held until the request was turned down, but he was held in jail. I think the jail thing is appalling.
It's just outrageous
that anybody should be held in jail on a charge that is still being processed. There must be ways of other ways of doing it, but it's the same in the States. I think you are these days guilty until proven innocent just by the fact that you're incarcerated.
Yeah.
You know, when there's absolutely no proof that you are guilty of the crime. And the way you are incarcerated, particularly in the States, is just appalling. I wouldn't want to go through it. It's really, I mean, I think there was a case in Australia quite some time ago I read about where a guy who was incarcerated, I think it was in Long Bay Jail, he was being held on remand, was raped and got AIDS. That's a bloody life sentence. And he wasn't even guilty of the crime that he was accused of. And he was acquitted. But he got AIDS, for God's sake. That's a, you know, that's a death sentence. And it's just appalling the way that the legal system has allowed to sort of deteriorate for those kinds of things to happen.
Yes, it seems appalling. Sort of progressively, and we're becoming more accustomed to it. As you said, all those cases, including the ones about people who question the Holocaust, I mean, for that to have been criminalized, to ask questions about the numbers of people who were, say, killed in Auschwitz, I mean, for that to be criminalized, for that to have been normalized, that that's criminal, shows that we have already slid so far down the slippery slope that the rest of the ride down is going to be really quick, because it was bumpy going down. We got down to that point, and it's now opened, that there's a momentum now that's developed towards tyranny. And
that's right.
And
it's the only speech crime that is, you know, not allowed in so many countries. Crime of looking back in, it was not speech crime. It's the only era of history that is forbidden in many countries to look at, investigate, and question. I've written some articles about a particular aspect of it, which is that it would have been far easier, quicker, cheaper, and safer for the people doing it to have suffocated the people that were alleged to have been put into gas chambers.
Right.
Because, you know, it would happen in roughly the same time. You wouldn't have to clear out the gas after you opened the doors. Nobody else would be hurt. And the Germans, who must have lost so many people in submarines and who are a very clever race, would have thought of that before they would have thought of an expensive, dangerous method of killing people. You know,
yeah.
But,
well,
you know, is somebody going to come and tap on my shoulder, you know, from the German embassy and cart me off to Mannheim?
Well, technically, yes.
Like I should be questioned about things like that. But Frederick Tobin, you know, is in danger of that happening to him if he steps in the wrong place. It's a dreadful situation. It really is. I mean, I have no doubt that many, many people, Jews, Gypsies, Protestants, Catholics, died in horrible conditions in Europe. But for one group of people to say you will not question the way, you know, how people die is totally wrong, totally wrong.
And, of course, that brings us back to the whole Israel question, because Israel being this incredibly malevolent power in the Middle East, threatening so many countries, while in fact the focus is always on some other country like Iran as being the threat, while the Holocaust is continually used as this reason why, you know, we have to always support Israel, always support Israel. And of course that just leads people to question it. That leads people to question the underlying myths of Israel, the Jews, and the Holocaust. But, I mean, look, that's a topic for another show. But it's just, look.
Well, just as a quick aside on that is that far from Ahmadinejad saying that Israel was going to be pushed into the sea by them, he didn't say that at all. But what he did say, which is really so true, the Holocaust happened in Europe. Why is Israel set up in Palestine?
Absolutely, you know, yeah.
There's no answer to that question. I mean, Ahmadinejad, he's got his faults like every politician. I've just had a very nice Iranian guy staying with me with a relative. And, you know, he's just like anybody else with politics. you know, they don't like what's happening in many areas in their country, but they're not too upset about others. And this business about beheading an adulteress. She murdered somebody and she wasn't going to be beheaded. She was going to be hanged, and it's happened, and it's sad and it's awful. But I mean, so is murder. But that's a judicial system. Americans have just killed somebody, a female, for murder by injecting them. What does it matter how you kill them? I mean, yeah, stoning, that's pretty bad. But that does happen in places like far away places, you know, in the hill tribes in Pakistan, apparently. But it isn't. A national pastime, which, you know, the mainstream media would have people think it is. But the fact that terrible things happen to people in Europe, and so, well, let's give them Palestine so that they can do terrible things to the Palestinians. This is just a travesty. It's just a total travesty. Israel is an apartheid state. It's the cause of most of the trouble. And probably 9/11, they had something to do with, I don't know. And they've probably got something to do with WikiLeaks. I wouldn't wonder, because there's not much about them in WikiLeaks.
Right.
Who knows? I don't know. Totally. Anyway.
Yeah, and I think your perspective on this is going to be, you know, greatly appreciated by a lot of our listeners. We've just about run out of time. It's been really, really good talking to you. Thanks a lot for coming on. And hopefully we can get you on again. We're going to a live format soon, and we'll actually be broadcasting through a network out of Texas. So if you are interested in coming on again, there'll be a much larger audience.
You bet. I mean, any time, Edward. It's great. Been really nice to chat to you, and I'm sure we have a lot of differences, but I think we've got a lot of areas we can touch. My feeling is, I try very hard not to say things that I don't know.
Sure.
But I can see trends, and I don't think it's unreasonable to point these trends out to people. Ask the questions. My first video, basically on 9/11, I asked the question about the fall of WTC-7, but what does it look like to you?
Yeah,
I asked the question, and that's what I think people should be doing, asking the questions. Don't listen to the answers you are getting or to the statements you are getting from the mainstream media. Ask the questions. Does this seem right? Does it seem right that there is so little about Israel in WikiLeaks when Israel is at the center of so much turmoil in the Middle East?
Excellent.
Ask the questions. Can that be my last word? Ask the questions, and thank you.
Absolutely. Have a great day, Anthony. Well, that about wraps it up for our show for today. Been a really great opportunity there to talk to someone with a different perspective on what's going on. So please get back to us. Please have a look at the links we'll be putting on this show. I'd like to encourage you to have a look at the information about Bradley Manning. I do believe that the incarceration of Bradley Manning is probably, you know, quantum level more significant than Julian Assange, even though I'm totally supportive of him. But what they've done to Bradley Manning is quite outrageous. And please get back to us with your thoughts, and have a great Christmas. This will probably be our last broadcast for Christmas. We'll try to get another show or two out before New Year's, and then we'll be broadcasting our first live show sometime soon in January. Goodbye from Truth News.